8 o'clock hour. Welcome back to Big League Chick Mustard producing the operation. Cags tonight, as we mentioned, he's 0-for-1 to this point. He popped out still early in this game. Only in the second inning now. Omaha's back up at the plate, but a 0-0 score. As we have Cags watch, yes, I'm one of those dudes that will look at standings. I will follow the minor leagues. I don't care. They say don't do it every day or whatever. I'll look and see where the Royals are. I'll see if they're sitting in playoff contention. I'll see where they're at. But our text line, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. The question from the 660, why do we need Mahomes to have amazing deep threat receivers? Other than Tyreek Hill, he's never had one of these for 5 years. We've always had one of the top five offenses. Yes and no. Last year, I think it was 18th in total yards. Don't forget about the one-score games. People made a big deal about not scoring over 30. Having a problem with that, even though there's two games that they could have scored over 30, they decided not to, which is fine. They didn't need to. But as far as points per drive, that was down. They were 10th in the NFL in points per drive last season, 2.27 to be exact. They usually hovered top one of the three. I mean, they maximized their drives. I don't know, man. I just hate seeing the close games. Again, go back to it. Said a lot during the draft. You have Mahomes. Use him. Give him the weapons. Yes, they've done well, you know, stacking up a good defense. That's great. Buffalo Bills had the number one defense the year the Chiefs came back and tied him up with 13 seconds. We'll remember that game before losing to the Bengals there in the AFC title game. But that 13-second game, that was the number one defense in the NFL. But scoring points, again, you're not going to have a quarterback of that caliber. I'd load him up, man. Yeah, offensive line, sure. And that's going to be a question mark going forward. We'll discuss that coming up here. But as far as the offense, just feed him weapons. There's no reason not to. He wins the close games. And you know what, to be honest with you? Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, there wasn't a ton of talent on offense from either one of those teams, but yet they won. And the Bills scored over 30 points a game with an offense. You say, well, it doesn't have Stephon Diggs. They didn't really have anybody. Clear Shakir, and that's it. But yet they continue to score points. Good system. Good offensive system they ran. But the Chiefs, I have no problem loading up Mahomes, man. You load him up with weapon after weapon because, again, find me a quarterback. You've been in this town. You live in this town. It was Lynn Dawson. And then it was sprinkled in with the Bill Kenny, who had a Pro Bowl type year. Okay. And then you had a bunch of the Tyler Thigpens of the world. Sure. Trent Green was good. That team was good, but they didn't do anything in the playoffs. They remember, this team went 21 years without winning a playoff game. Alex Smith did. Yes, that's fine. Alex Smith turned things around, made him viable. But was he a guy that was going to put him over the hump? No, Mahomes has. And you give that guy different weapons. Again, last year, you in a situation where it looked good, but you needed a rookie wide receiver who a lot of people thought was undersized being your number one threat. Who at the beginning, he wasn't ready for prime time. He had trouble, you know, on the sidelines, staying in bounds or not. But then he got better and better and better, and you see why he was a first-round pick, because Xavier Worthy turned out to be a lot more than the 4.21 speed at the combine. It was always ridiculous because the guy's a player. The guy who destroyed things at Texas when he's there, he's more than just a vertical route guy. He can do everything. And you get to see that with Xavier Worthy, expecting big things from this year. But who do you think is the most underrated, underappreciated Kansas City Chief? They went through and they listed on NFL.com every single team. And getting to the Kansas City Chiefs, they said it was Noah Gray. And, okay, I understand that, but I don't know if he's really underappreciated. I mean, he had 40 catches last year, sure. Noah Gray got that contract extension September, 3 years added on to it. $18 million, but 40 catches is 40 catches. He's 6'3", 240 pounds. He's not even your starting tight end. That's Travis Kelce. Now, he's gotten better, that's for sure. You look at receptions, his first year he had 7. Then he went to 28 for 2 years straight years in 22 and 23. Then he had 40, kind of a breakout year for him last year. All right, 44, 37. That's great. 5 touchdowns. Do I really think that Noah Gray was the most underappreciated Kansas City Chief? No. We could maybe talk about a Trey Smith being underappreciated to give up a single sack for the Chiefs, or Creed Humphrey, whatever you want to go. But that's not the direction I'm going to go. As far as underappreciated dudes, I would go Shamari Connor, who was drafted by this team. did a lot of different things at Vaught Tech. Actually led that team in sacks one year when he was there from the defensive backfield. He's a safety by trade. He's played safety. He's also played nickel corner. Did a lot of nickel corner last year. Ended up fifth on the Kansas City Chiefs in tackles last year. Matter of fact, that one-point win they had against the Bengals during the regular season, he had a 38-yard scoop and score, and he was the difference in that game. He was the difference in beating the Bengals last year. So I'm going to go Shamari Connor as far as being underrated, underappreciated Kansas City Chief. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Getting some Leo Chanels in here. That was a name I probably would have gone with had I not gone Shamari Connor, because he is pretty versatile linebacker. Do a lot of different things. Not only that, he's an inside linebacker. He can play on the outside, off-ball linebacker. He also is tremendous at rushing the passer, even though it's not his trade. You don't think of Leo as a pass rush guy, but had an extremely good pass rushing grade when he was at Wisconsin. He even led that team in sacks one year when he was there, even though he wasn't an edge rusher. He can get to the quarterback. We know that, but Leo Chanel, definitely a dude that's kind of underappreciated, I think, for the Chiefs. But to me, it's Connor. Because when you have a guy that can, you know, with injuries, Brian Cook, play safety. Because that's his normal position. Or he can play nickel corner, which is tough, but you ask him to do that. And he can also, we haven't seen it as much in the NFL, but by trade, he is a guy that gets to the quarterback and pass rushes. But as far as underappreciated Kansas City Chiefs, who is? Who's one guy that doesn't get talked about? That we should talk about more? Is it kind of an undersung guy like Shamari Connor? Or is it Xavier Worthy? I mean, I know it's a first-round pick, but it is a guy that, let's face it, had to step up last year when Hollywood Brown's hurt and when Rashee Rice got hurt. Xavier Worthy had to step up for this team. Did we appreciate him or not? I mean, I know Mahomes and we appreciate what he's doing, but it does take other dudes. Maybe Nick Bolton's that guy. Underappreciate how many tackles he makes. Maybe it's George Karloftis on the outside, even though I think he gets plenty of running. Definitely Trent McDuffie gets his run at corner. So not really talking about those dudes, but kind of the undersung guys for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm going to go Shamari Connor, just from his versatility and everything he can do for Spags in the secondary. Mike Dana got a few. Mike Dana's interesting. There was a guy that didn't even go to the combine. Was at Michigan and transferred to Central Michigan. Didn't go to the combine. They got him. It was a steal when he ended up with the Chiefs. Jaden Hicks getting some run. Turk Wharton in Missouri S&T getting a run before he left. But, yeah, it's a guy that definitely, you know, played above his skis because he was undrafted, and he made this team and made a difference on this team. But Jaden Hicks, I really like it. I think you're really going to like Jaden Hicks. Probably under-talked about. He did lead the Chiefs in interceptions last year. Kind of grooming himself to the NFL, but expect more and more out of Jaden Hicks. Here was a guy that Dane Brugler had as the 39th best player in the draft when they got him in the fourth round. Kind of a steal when you get in there, the number one safety they had in the league. Of course, safety's not really highly thought of as much last year than years before, but definitely one of those guys to look at as far as undersung. But it takes those guys. It takes just like when they won the Super Bowl against the Eagles. You know, it took a Nazi Johnson to play special teams. It took a seventh rounder like Jalen Watson to contribute. He had two pick sixes. It took a guy like Isaiah Pacheco drafted in the second round or seventh round to lead your team in rushing. It took those guys to help this team. But yeah, the underrated guys are something to look at. But Noah Gray, yeah, he's got obviously with Kelce aging probably on his last year. Noah Gray is going to have some responsibility. Not a tremendously huge tight end as far as the role at 6'3". I'm looking forward to Wiley and see what he can do. I'd really like to see him in the mix. I think the guy has got some acumen to play tight end in the NFL. Unfortunately, got hurt last year, so we didn't get to see it all with the Kansas City Chiefs last year. But to me, it's Shamari Connor. If you can play safety and you can also play at nickel corner and cover guys, like you can't have enough of those guys. And quietly fifth on the team in tackles, like I said. Not only that, he had the scoop and score. He was the difference in this team beating the Cincinnati Bengals. But you guys texting that in as far as that's concerned. But also the offensive line situation. Is it 100% that Jalen Moore is going to be a starter on the left side? Or could he move to the right side and push Juwan Taylor? We'll discuss that next. Welcome back, 96.5. The Fan, Jay Binkley, Jacob Muster producing the operation. 31-25 Thunder lead over the Wolves. In the NHL, we get a spanking going on now as the Florida Panthers up 3-0 in the second period. And still a lot of time left, but 3-0 over the Hurricanes. Panthers, of course, on the road and the defending Stanley Cup champions, always like the NHL postseason. 913, a tight end has potential. Talk about Noah Gray. Gets hurt. Sounds familiar. He will not be anything close to Kelsey. Just something fun to think about. Another person is a possible Harrison Butker. Listen, I wouldn't rather have anybody else than Harrison Butker. But I'll say this. The Chiefs already have, in the NFL, you look at the starters for every team, including kickers and punters. Already, you've got the, you're going to have the highest paid guard in Trey Smith out of any player, any position. But you got Chris Jones, the highest paid defensive lineman interior. You've got, as far as highest paid, Harrison Butker is the highest paid kicker in the league. But it's hard for me to say underrated when you're the most compensated out of any of the said position in the NFL. But yeah, clearly it's just, he's a must have. I mean, it's a guy that saves the Chiefs' ass continuously, game after game, coming in as Harrison Butker. So because I'm looking forward to the season, man. Mike Dana, Jaden Hicks, Shamari Connor, you name it. I'm going to see who steps up for this team. Who takes that leap up and who takes that step back? Because definitely I think that's worthy, you know, of conversation. Who's going to step up and who's going to step back? One guy we'd like to see step forward is Jalen Moore. Five starts, 12 total starts in the NFL, five last year for the Niners. They kind of hit or miss. A lot of them didn't like seeing him go. I mean, some of the advanced stats said he didn't do a great job, some of the advanced stats that he did. But the Chiefs, not a lot of options out there at left tackle, and I don't think clearly drafting where they were, unless you want to be on the Josh Simmons train, even though he's hurt, and the patellar tendon, you're like, oh, they got a steal, which they could have. And Josh Simmons, we'll see what happens. But Jalen Moore, you know, was hired to come in here as the left tackle. He's got relatively little playing experience, but he was behind Trent Williams, one of the best that we've ever seen in Frisco. And I've seen talk, could he push? And it's something I've actually thought about at the beginning. Could he push Juwan Taylor, moving him to the right side? I mean, in college, when he went to Western Michigan, he was teammates with Sky Moore there, believe it or not. When Jalen Moore went there, he went to Western Michigan as a tight end. And then they're like, nah, you need to play on the line. So he was moved to left tackle. And that's where he was. And he's left tackle in the NFL. Can he move over to the right side? I think left tackles can move over to the right side. A little bit of discipline. You're stepping off on a different foot. But let's face it, Juwan Taylor's a head scratcher at times. Has a lot of penalties. Lining up has been an issue for him in the past. He's led the NFL in penalties the last 2 years. But when everything's right, he's actually playing well. But I don't think that position is necessarily safe, and all the money they're paying Juwan Taylor. If Josh Simmons is ready to go, and he's ready to go day one at left tackle, then you're saying, all right, where does Jalen Moore go? Well, would Jalen Moore slide over to the right side and compete against Juwan Taylor? So that could be a situation. I am curious about this offensive line, how it's going to look. Not totally satisfied with the way it was because after they got beat by the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, it was all about restructuring this offensive line for the Chiefs, and they did. They restructured it good enough to where they went to the AFC title game against the Bengals, and then boom, two straight Super Bowl wins, and then went to three straight Super Bowls and had a chance to win three in a row, which no team has ever done. Weren't able to do the job against Philly. They didn't blitz. Clearly, they got to them with the front, and it showed some real weaknesses in the Chiefs' line. They had the guy playing out of position in Joe Tooney. He's one of the best guards in the NFL. He didn't give up a sack last year either, but he's a guard and he's not a tackle. And you clearly saw that because it really showed itself in the Super Bowl. But for the most part, if they trot out, it's a lot of the same dudes, man. Juwan Taylor on the right side at tackle, then Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey. You know, Creed and Trey are the best in the business, but again, third and one, fourth and one, you got to get those yards. You got to get first downs because they're not going to do the tush push. Then the left side, when you get the left guard, it's going to take a hit. It just is. Joe Tooney was your left guard. He's with the Bears now. But that is going to be a downgrade at that position. To say it's going to be an upgrade, you can't say that with Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney did everything was asked for him, and even playing out of position, playing a tackle, he held his own until he got to the Super Bowl. But the guy's not a left tackle. He's a guard. So do you expect Kingsley to step in there and be that guy? Because he wasn't that guy at tackle. So we'll see. It's wait and see with Kingsley. Then the left tackle situation, which I think is so pivotal because I think about best positions in the NFL. Clearly, quarterback's one. And then blindside protector, even though we've seen more and more as far as the right tackle, you can make a comparison. They're just as important as left tackle, the modern-day NFL, which you can't make that case. But shut down corner and edge rusher. You got to have those four positions. But left tackle, still a wait and see. I mean, yeah, Jalen Moore was brought in here, but it's going to be a wait and see for the Chiefs, you know, being the guy. And the one thing I like about it is he's got a chance to come in here and perform and then get the big contract. So he's like guys to come in here and have a chance to get paid in the NFL like we thought Hollywood Brown was going to get. But then obviously the injury derailed that. Chiefs were able to bring him back this year, which I didn't think they had a chance in hell to bring him back until he missed the season, basically. Came back at the end, but clearly that changed things, and he's back here with the Kansas City Chiefs, which I'm glad because they need him at wide receiver. But Jalen Moore stepping in there, Josh Simmons. Like, I'm curious about Simmons. Like, if Simmons works out, that's a steal, getting him at the end of the first round when guys considered him to be the best left tackle. I mean, early in the season, that was considered the best left tackle in the business. I mean, on the character concerns where Chris and I look at the tackles and the direction they go, yeah, clearly that's that guy, and they did break the mold because they never drafted Ohio State, but they did this time. But the patellar knee injury is just a different type of injury. The NFL is not as used to that. The NFL deals with ACLs all the time, but this is different than the ACL. And that's the big hang-up. But you know, according to Andy Reid and most, it should be ready for training camp. But again, when you get to training camp and all of a sudden you say, well, it's going to be in there 2 or 3 weeks, okay? When the last check, he was squatting 225 pounds at the point, which in the grand scheme of things, that's not very much, but you're getting back into action, so I guess you got to start somewhere. But if he pans out, it's a home run. But then again, you're asking a rookie to be good in the NFL going against some of the best pass rushers in the business. So that's always tough, and especially a rookie coming off a knee injury. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm not one that thinks he plays on day one. I don't. I think it could be Jalen Moore, but then what are you going to do on your right side? Then you're relying on Juwan Taylor. Then essentially you have the same offensive line. And now I know you look at the team and say, well, how are they getting better? How did they get better? Well, it's a lot of the same dudes, man. Hopefully, health-wise, they'll be there with Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, but even though that suspension is there, Xavier Worthy, I think, takes that next step. I can't see Travis Kelce taking the next step because he's mid-30s and you just don't take next steps. At that age, you're serviceable, and I do think it helped the Chiefs in the draft. They didn't really have to worry about tight end in this draft, even though it's kind of a tight end draft. And then running back, they decided not to get it till the 7th round. You think, what are they going to do at running back? Well, they were a little bit worried about it because they bring back Kareem Hunt, who wouldn't be part of the equation, but now he is. And then is Isaiah Pacheco really that guy that you count on week in, week out? Because he wasn't counted on by the Chiefs. As a matter of fact, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, all it was Kareem Hunt. Once halftime rolled around, it was Kareem Hunt the rest of the way when it came to crucial downs. And I get it, Isaiah Pacheco was coming off an injury, but what are your expectations there? Did they really get exponentially better? That's the question. Like, a lot of it hinges on Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons at left tackle. Because if they work out, okay, that definitely helps your offensive line because that's your left tackle. It's a blindside protector for Patrick Mahomes. But left guard, I can't see it being a ton better. I just can't because Tooney's gone. Yeah, maybe Kingsley's the dude. I know a lot of people thought that Kingsley could have been, quote, a first rounder last year. Was considered a steal getting the second round. And it was Wanya Morris starting left tackle at the beginning of camp. Then through OTAs and all that, then eventually day one, it was Kingsley as your starter left tackle. That didn't work out for him. You know, they've had left tackle issues when it came to the Super Bowl. It hasn't mattered as much because they've still won them. But again, you rely on Patrick Mahomes to do everything. Patrick Mahomes is relied upon to do everything. Carry this team, you name it, is Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying, make it his life easier, man. Give him more time in the pocket. Give him more time to throw downfield. Back those safeties up. Don't have 8 guys in the box. Stop at the running game gets better when they're able to go deep. It just will. And I think the Chiefs, everybody's gunning for them. Clearly, the same contenders are out there, the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bengals will actually be a team to worry about, to be honest with you. I know they didn't make the playoffs last year. That offense is still ridiculous. Joe Burrow did have a good year. Ja'Marr Chase did have the triple crown at wide receiver. They brought T. Higgins back and paid him money. I think that was silly because that should have gone to Trey Hendrickson, so he's happy because he's not happy right now. Supposedly he'll play. Maybe he won't. I don't know. It's just a weird deal going on in Cincinnati because they need defensive help. That defense sucked last year, and they went heavy on defense in the NFL draft. Do I really want to put him in a contender? Last year I did, and they didn't make the playoffs, so who knows? That's the way the NFL goes. You don't make the playoffs, and all of a sudden you're viable the next season. Baltimore, can you compete with them? It's going to be interesting to see, and I think a lot of times we're sleeping on this fact. You just rely on Mahomes to go out and do everything, but give him the weapons, man. Again, on paper, the wide receiver room looks good. Hollywood, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royal sprinkled in. It looks good. That's if they stay healthy. But you know as well as I do that health doesn't always happen in the NFL. It's not Hollywood Brown's track record to be healthy, and he missed almost the whole season last year when he's hurt in play one against the Jags. And then there's always the Rashee Rice suspension that the NFL will probably get to at some point because they always do. So who knows what's going to happen? Will Jalen Royal step up, or will it be Juju stepping up? I will say this about Juju. I know they brought him back because he knows the offense, but whenever he had his big games, it was kind of unguarded. So he's kind of out in space all alone when he made all those big catches for the Chiefs. But I am curious about Jalen Moore. Like, one thing to watch in St. Joe will be the left tackle. And I really hope Josh Simmons is part of the equation. Wouldn't count on it, but I hope he's part of it. Because if he works out, it's a steal. I didn't like the draft pick to begin with. I made that clear. I would have rather had Burden. I get it. Missouri, blah, blah, blah. I just want Mahomes to have weapons, man. But then you come back and say, well, he's got to have guys protect for him. That's true. So offensive line and wide receivers, I definitely think they've got to keep going that direction. But they've taken one stab in the draft the last couple years of wide receivers. 2022 is Sky Moore, who hadn't panned out for him. Rashee Rice did, because he was second only to Puka in catches and yards. So that worked out. Last year, Xavier Worthy worked out. Despite everybody thinking he was a combine hero, he was, and he was better than that. He led Texas in receptions and yards for three short years, and two of the three, he led them in touchdowns. But I am curious about Jalen Moore going into camp. That'll be something definitely to watch, is the left tackle position for the Chiefs. And then health. You just want to see guys stay healthy. Like, I want to see the Chiefs go into the season with the big three at wide receiver. Definitely want to see that and see what they can do, because I think they can do wonders. I do, but they got to get protection. You got to have protection for Patrick Mahomes, because, again, he's not getting any younger. And again, he's getting to the prime of his career, to be honest with you. He's not even 30 yet. He'll be 30 this season. But he's not even 30 yet, and he's already got three Super Bowl rings under his belt, which is insane. Most guys, you know, build Hall of Fame careers in their 30s, or Tom Brady in their 40s, and they just keep getting good. I expect Mahomes to have a great time in his 30s. Give him the weapons. That's all I say. And we'll talk about that. Get to your text on the Kansas City Chiefs next. Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Jacob Muster, producing the operation. Summer's here almost, but the pool's open this weekend. Something like that usually. What's funny is when you get to June, it's like, what, quick 4 weeks away till 4th of July. Man, I know we're not to Memorial Day weekend yet, which we will be. But then all of a sudden you get to June and boom, it's 4th of July right there. I mean, it's still kind of daylight now. I mean, it's pretty much dark at this point, but you can still see, you know, pretty clearly out here. It's what, 8:30, 4 in the evening? Doesn't suck, man. It gets light early, stays light late. I mean, this is kind of prime, man. Do you like it when it gets dark early? I'm not a big fan of it.
No, I'm not. It just makes the days feel so gloomy. I mean, just about a month and a half ago, it was still getting dark around 6 o'clock, 6:30, and it's like, man, it feels like you barely have any time after work to do anything.
When it was 5 o'clock, that was really weird. It was getting dark at five, because this basically was a night show, to be honest with you, at some point, but it's basically a daylight show as we sit now. By the way, Cags is gone 0-2. So put the panic on, right? Put the panic on. He's 0-2, playing right field tonight. The game's early. Again, we've heard ridiculous comparisons to Shohei. The Pete Alonso one I'm good with. The Shohei one, that's kind of out there. But anyway, Cags is 0-2. Do you look at box scores at all? Jacob, do you watch prospects, or do you care? Because I used to care a ton about it. Back when Hosmer and Duffy and those guys were, you know, in the minor leagues, I like to have them on, basically, when they were down in AA and AAA. I like to talk to them.
I can't say I have for baseball prospects, just because there's so many. And, like, the whole got to watch them in AA or AAA, and it's like, once they get to the major leagues, I'll box score. But for prospects, it's kind of hard for me to. I mean, I'm not a huge college fan either, so I don't pay the most attention to the college baseball or even basketball until March Madness. So it's just like one where, you know, once they, I'm kind of more of a prove it in the league when you get there.
It's gotten better for college baseball. I don't know if you've been a fan of it, like especially maybe the regionals or super regionals you like, or when you get to the College World Series, you start paying attention to it, or maybe you're a Kansas fan and pay attention to what that baseball team is doing at this point. I'm just curious what people said. I know that Cody and Gold do a great job because they went down to Northwest Arkansas when Bobby Witt Jr. was there. They had, what, 125 people or something go with them down to see Cags play down in Springfield? I mean, that was unbelievable turnout they had to go down there. And it's a nice drive, easy drive down to Springfield to watch it, but everybody's curious about Cags, man. Again, I think that's where a lot of that pressure comes from.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the most that I box score watched and everything was when Ochai Agbaji was at KU. That I went to high school with him and played on the same team as him. Not at that guy, level, man. But yeah, Oak Park graduate. And just one, that's one guy that I'll always be rooting for. And he's one where it's just like, you know, I wanted to see how he's doing. Shoot, I'll still check on him in the NBA because I don't watch every game, but he's kind of banished to Canada. He's on playing for the Raptors now, and he showed some improvement this year.
Yeah, his dad actually came and watched it at a bar at some of the conference tournaments and stuff. It was with Henry, my old co-host, came down here, and he was visiting, but he was out with Tennessee, but he was at the bar with us. It was pretty cool talking to him. Oak Park guy. And then you lost an Oak Park guy in Jacques Vaughn going back to Kansas, who brought Oak Park a state title last year in basketball.
Yeah, that him sucks, and Corbin Allen, they were great this year.
I'm curious how but anyway, Jacques going back to Kansas. I'm not a Kansas. Are you a Kansas fan? I assume you are now.
No. I just paid attention for that, for Ochai. That was the only reason
Oak
I paid
Park
attention
connection,
to him.
Obviously, because that's where you went, so. It's where I went. It's kind of an Oak Park show. It's fine. You and I are Northland believers.
Yeah, and that's where, and Corbin Allen, brother of Paige Allen, who I had some commentary for her senior year. She went and played basketball down in Texas, and Corbin Allen's her younger brother who helped Oak Park as well go to state, and he just committed to KU as well, so he's following the Ochai path.
There's actually a few Oak Park guys here. I'm Veer May Ken back in does everything with the boards and everything else. Ken, he went to Oak Park. So there's a few Okies.
Yeah, a few of us. And then there's also, I think, at least three of the Bearcats here, too. Logan, and I've heard of a couple others, too.
Yeah, we got a lot of D2 guys around here. I'm a D2 guy, Pitt State, obviously, Dustman, Dusty Likens, Central Missouri. Got a few. I was thinking more Southwest Missouri, but no, Logan went to Northwest. That's where Logan went to.
Yeah, me and him both were there. He was a senior my freshman year.
Gold's a KU guy. Cody's UMKC. Fesco's KU guy. Dustman, as I said, Central Missouri. You got CDOT, Missouri Southern, another D2 guy. So we got D2 guys around here, which is fine. I like it that way. I like it that way. I like D2 guys coming here. But anyway, Jack Caglione, 0-for-2 tonight, who Jim Callis, you heard earlier, compared him to Shohei Ohtani. He says he hates making that comparison. I just think that's a terrible comparison when you hear anybody being compared to a 3-time MVP. It's a tough thing. It's like you hear the Mahomes comparisons now. It's kind of like, okay, you got to do something first. You got to make a AFC title game 7 straight years. You got to do that every year and then win a bunch of Super Bowls. That's too much of a comparison, even though we all make them. Oh, I think this guy reminds me of such. So we do it all the time in sports radio. I get it. We make comparisons all the time, who we think is going to be good, and you compare to somebody else that's already played. Front offices do it. JJ admitted to it because they looked at Cags and thought of Pete Alonso, and that's a direction they'd go as far as that's concerned. But regardless, we make comparisons, but I think that Shohei is a little bit out of the box. And I know I'm sitting here reading his box score and what he's doing, but I'm doing that for fun because I like watching the prospects and seeing what they're doing. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to look at the prospects. I think it's fun to look at the standings. I don't care. They've got a chance to win the division. Before the year started, I thought it was going to be Detroit and Kansas City. I'm not backing off that. I know Cleveland's right there, and Cleveland beat the Royals 2 out of 3 at the beginning of the year. That's fine. But the American League Central is playing a lot better than I thought it was, because I thought Minnesota would kind of slide off. They haven't. They've come right back. And then Cleveland just hanging around and doing their thing. But I do think in the end it's going to be Detroit and Kansas City. That's why this series against Detroit is so important. Speaking of that, we'll talk about the Kansas City Royals. Do you miss them tonight? Did you miss them watching on the West Coast, or did you stay up and watch the late night first pitches? I did. The pitching lineup for this weekend in Minnesota is crazy good for the Kansas City Royals. We'll discuss that next. Welcome back to After Hours, the home of the Kansas City Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas State Wildcats here in Kansas City. Jay Binkley, Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Still 3-0, 2:06 left in the second in the NHL's. The Panthers all over the Hurricanes. By the way, it's 58-50 now at halftime now. Oklahoma City. The Wolves made it a little bit close, got within 6 there to end half, so it might still be an interesting game down the stretch.
Yeah, they managed to snag the lead for a little bit. It was like, I think they had a lead 33-32, and then they traded some three-pointers back and forth, and then saw the starters get subbed back in. Oz Reed has gotten into some foul trouble, and so he had to go to the bench, and that kind of sparked the Thunder going on a run.
And I know the NHL and NBA, I think the NBA is probably more popular, to be honest with you, with people in the NHL, although I think if we had a team, it would work in Kansas City, because I've seen NHL teams go to warm cities like Dallas, like Nashville, and it's worked out. But who knows? I'd love to see a team here. I just don't think it's going to happen. We'd love to see it. I know Power and Light and all these places. You know, everybody talks about the concerts down there and everything else. It needs an anchor tenant, because these other places have anchor tenants, and yet they sell the concerts and everything else. They do them both, because that place is a ghost town, man. When there's no concerts going on down there. The NBA, popular to some extent, still ratings not that great. Ratings in NHL this year haven't been that great either, to be honest with you. But I think having a dog in a fight, I think having a team definitely changes things. And I think Kansas City would get around to support it. Hell, they support the Royals and Chiefs, so we'll see what happens. And it's going to be interesting seeing what happens with the World Cup, as they're starting to get asked for volunteers and everything about that, because we're going to – this town's going to be flooded with people next year. A lot of money's going to be coming to the city. Not a huge soccer guy, but, man, this is pretty cool having the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can get a World Cup event, or, like, the Olympics and stuff like that, anytime you get that coming to the States, it's great for business, and then having it close by.
Probably spark up your business. You'll be pretty busy. You still play in disc golf?
Oh yeah, it's
you gone pro yet?
It's ramping up as the summer's going on. The biggest tournament in the Kansas City area just happened a couple weekends ago with the Kansas City Wide Open, and then you got the Kansas City Flying Discs is coming up. They're not in Kansas City, but in Des Moines they have a tournament coming up.
Is it bigger and bigger in Kansas City now, would you say?
What'd you say?
Is it bigger and bigger in Kansas City? Because obviously it's pretty
economical. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Kansas City, I think they did a poll recently and are like going through
about
statistics. And I think Kansas City's about the 3rd ranked place for disc golf.
Is that right?
Like Charlotte beats it out, and I think Texas beats out Kansas City just by sheer numbers in Texas. So Charlotte's really the number one that you kind of compete with.
Didn't you say there's a whole bunch of courses here? I was blown away when you started naming all these courses, because I didn't know it was that many.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just in the area, I mean, there's some good ones here in Shawnee Mission. They're popping up every single day. I was just pulling up, like, the courses I've played at least. Says courses played. I've played 67 courses. Some have been in Florida. Some have been traveling through the areas and some different courses. So I'd say there's probably roughly 40 in the area that you can go to that are good quality courses. And then there's a bunch of 9-hole courses that are kind of just like, come show up, maybe bring a beginner. But the 18-hole, there's some world-class ones around.
And it's usually free to go play, right?
Oh, yeah. No greens fees. There's only... a handful of pay to play around the area. But yeah, most, about 90% of them are free. And like I said, no greens fees, no memberships, nothing. It's just nice and cheap to get out.
What's the equipment usually cost? If someone says, you know what, I want to go play this. It's free to go play the course, get out, get some exercise, go play. What's it cost to get the disc?
Well, I mean, brand new, you're looking at about $15 to $18. Some companies are like Latitude.
Per disc.
Yeah. Like Latitude 64 is based in Europe. So there's comes in at like 21 to 24 a disc. But the best thing you can do is find like a local store. You have like Truly Unique.
Still not very much.
You have Nexus Disc Golf. You have a bunch of these that sell used discs that you can grab for like $10. And there's nothing really wrong with grabbing a couple used discs, spending $30-$40, and you get a handful of them and figure out which ones you like.
I think it's great. I know a lot of people taking them golf and everything, but that can run you some cash, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, for one golf club, you can probably buy 15 discs.
Then you've got Dustman, who's self suspension because he's work on his game a little bit. Which Dusty's one of the best golfers here, but he's had the case of not hitting it between the lines. So he's got to go back and self-suspension on that. But I'm just curious because I just think that'd be an economical thing for people to go do. That'd be an inexpensive thing to go do. I know people want me to go play, do this hot dog derby and stuff like that. I would do that for the station as a thing, but they're not doing it. I can't do it. I can't register for it. But I'm not a huge fan in general of festivals. And I know this is the big festival time you have all summer. I'm not a fan of going out there sweating your ass off and going and seeing, you know, tents and stuff with people trying to peddle and sell crap they made in their garage. Just not a fan of that. Like the food ones and the barbecue ones, that was cool. But as far as buying all that stuff, not a big fan.
Oh, yeah. And then got a shout out in the text line. Dynamic Discs is best. If you're talking brand, I'd have to disagree. If you're talking about the local store, I do have to plug that. Yes, I work at one of them, so we've rebranded to Nexus Disc Golf, and I would say it's the best in the Northland, but you're talking more Missouri side versus there's some more prominent stores out in Kansas.
I think it's awesome that you play, and you're very good at it, too, because you've told me some of the things that you've been able to accomplish on that.
I actually, not to cut you off, I just aced Tuesday. I got another hole in one. So
did you? How far was it?
This one was 170 feet. So not very far. It was one of the shortest holes on the course, but the coolest part I'll have to show you after is we got it on film. So
it's all that matters to get it on film. But I'm just curious. Mac Morey plays a lot too. Mac does the producing for Dusty and Bob. He's probably not to your level yet because you're obviously at a almost pro level as far as that's concerned, but I appreciate it.
I'm not that good, but
you need to
go
play Mac. You need to go play Mac. Mac actually likes it. Like that's two guys here that are actually really hardcore into it. And you know what? It seems like most of the city's in it too, because our text line blows up whenever we talk about it.
Yeah, and someone clarified, yes, talking the Northland story. Yeah, that's the one that I work at. It's great. I mean, and I like to say that they have the best used disc golf section at Nexus Northland location. So that's where you come in, build out your starter bag and everything, and get into it.
I'll be honest with you. Henry and I were talking about one time in the day shift. We were talking about like going out and playing, and one of the local stores actually sent us a bag of the putter and driver and a disc set to go play.
Well, now you know me, so you can just ask me and have one of my hundreds in my collection.
Dude, you watch the tournaments, which is insane. That's how into this you are, which I think is great. I think this is awesome.
To brag, like I didn't want to be on camera, but I volunteered at the pros this past couple weeks ago, and I ended up getting on a bunch of coverage just by stat keeping for lead card, and they said we did it so well that they invited us back. So
just cut your teeth.
You can find me on film.
That's right. Just cut your teeth. Jacob Mustard right there, like the condiment. The Mustard Man. By the way, the Royals, you got Noah Cameron from St. Joe pitching tomorrow night in Minnesota. Michael Wacha Saturday and Chris Bubich on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Again, Chris Bubich this month in May, 4 starts, 1 run. 1 run's all he's given up. A .36 earned run average. 147 for the season. this dude. I know we talk about Reagans all the time. We talk about Lugo and what he can do. Watch some Chris Bubich. This guy is absolutely insane and fun to watch. Again, three against the Twins and three against the Reds at home. And then, well, Minnesota on the road, but Reds at home and then the Tigers. Jake Mustard producing the operation. I appreciate him, my man. Get out there and play some golf this weekend.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Jay Bingley, good night, everybody. Don't forget Dusty and Fesco tomorrow morning, 5:58.